This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
People ask me, what does it take to get through a Matt Cotrillo segment? Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. We're going to bring in now Doug Birdsong, my good friend, to talk about Bucknell football. Do we have him there?
Oh, I am here. The suit was unable to sabotage my appearance.
Well, let me put it this way. You have to have capabilities to do that. See, with him, what I always admire about him, there's no skill to it. He just does it naturally.
I totally agree.
It's unbelievable. All right.
How are you, Steve?
Doing great. So, Merrimack coming in. Huge second half. Beat VMI. What kind of lift was this for this team to do what they did on the road?
A huge one. They lost 2 years ago down in Lexington. Now the weather conditions a little bit different, but of course both teams have to play in that. However, it does, you call it home field advantage for a reason, and certainly at their Alumni Memorial Field, VMI is a big home field advantage, Steve, because they play on a natural grass surface. And not only that, but it's a Bermuda grass, which kind of plays like many of the putting greens that you like to go around the country and play on and do very well, I'm sure, on. But it was wet. Bucknell didn't adjust. No excuses, but just kind of laying it out there. But this year, fast track, dry, really good weather, and I think it was big, particularly, and we found this out in our post-game interview that Todd Newcomb did with Ralph Rucker, the really good quarterback for the Bison. They were able to figure out what VMI was doing. Their defense, or their head coach, Coach Rocco, who has coached now in the NFL, FCS football, FBS, everything, great defensive mind. He was doing some things in that first half that Bucknell did not expect at all. So between John Bear, the offensive coordinator, Ralph Rucker, the receivers line, et cetera, they were able to figure that stuff out in that third quarter, 21 points. The whole second half, Rucker was almost perfect, 14 of 15, over 200 yards, those three TDs. Bucknell was humming offensively.
Rucker so far this season at 64% with four touchdowns, only one interception. How important has it been for him, at least in the initial going, to really stay away from the big mistake and just be a playmaker?
Well, it's funny because, I mean, that's always huge. Last year he only threw five interceptions, and he had a ton of touchdowns last season as well. The thing is, though, on Bucknell's second offensive series, one of those things that VMI did, he didn't expect, Coach Baird didn't expect, no one had prepared for. I talked with him at practice last night, Steve, and Ralph said that on everything VMI had done last year and in the first game against William & Mary this year, their defensive backs at the snap of the ball would always backpedal, never come up, never play press coverage. They played press coverage on two straight plays. One was almost a pick six. Then another, they blitzed, and his hot read was to the opposite side. So the almost interception was to his left, the opposite side to his right. They blitzed on his left, so his hot read was to his right. It was all the way to the sideline. This one, a freshman, Asa Locks, did not miss. He gathered it in and ran like 40 yards for a touchdown. So he did make a mistake there, but that's always, as you well know, the credit has to go to a guy who has been through a lot and seen a lot in Ralph Rucker, a senior now. He did not let it bother him. He came back, and of course, that second half, once they had a chance, you talk about halftime adjustments there in your last segment, but they had to make some halftime adjustments, and in that case, he really did prove to be very fruitful for the Bison.
T.J. Caden and Eric Weatherly have 11 catches apiece at this point. What has it meant to him they can spread the ball around like that, and it's just not one guy?
Well, he had that last year, too. One of the really fine receivers who was a senior last year, a four-year senior, Damian Harris, now playing at William & Mary, actually faced VMI in that first game a couple of weeks ago, and he was a great receiver. I asked Dave Cicchini here just a few weeks ago in the middle of fall camp, and he was a great receiver in his own right, All-American at Lehigh, great offensive coordinator, head coach, et cetera, and I asked him, is this the deepest and most talented receiving core you've had? And he said, yes. He said, one year at Lehigh, we had a guy who ended up going pro, NFL, and two others. Those three combined are better than any of the three Bucknell has this year. However, Bucknell literally can go six deep in terms of receivers, and all six can score. And I think you've seen that in Weatherly. And T.J. Caden, he could not get on the field last year because the other receivers, including Damian Harris, they were playing in front of him. And I remember asking Coach Cicchini a few times last year, Caden looks so good in practice. Is there any way to get him involved? And he goes, well, he's a slot receiver, and unfortunately we have Eric Weatherly there, and you know, there's just not a place for him. But now they found a place. He has been dynamic in both of the first two games. And, of course, now he's making an impact on special teams with that punt return that was huge when Bucknell was down 7-0 there midway through the first quarter. So, Caden, Weatherly, Josh Gary caught two touchdown passes last week, the junior from Maryland. Nate Anderson, a transfer from Western Michigan University, caught Bucknell's first touchdown pass of the year 2 weeks ago against Navy. Derek Anderson hadn't played much this year, but last year he caught six touchdown passes, had an incredible catch down the far sideline. He's probably the best deep receiver, along with Weatherly, that Rucker can have and throw the ball to. He is just getting back because he missed a lot of fall camp with an injury. And then you have a freshman in A.J. Bosch, who isn't getting any playing time, but he may be one of the quickest guys on Bucknell's team. Sam Milligan, who the coaches love. I mean, literally one after another. And Chuck Cranebucker, a great tight end from Pittsburgh, Butler, PA, but Pittsburgh area, he hasn't really had an opportunity to shine yet because the receivers are hogging all the action.
Right. Now, defensively, Nick Hoying so far, Gavin Willis, they've been around the ball the entire time, plus Hoying as a pick so far. What's been your thought on those two?
Well, I felt coming into this year, Steve, that Bucknell's linebacking duo, Brad Jamison, who was second-team All-Patriot League a year ago, Gavin Willis, who was a freshman a year ago, coming from Louisville. Jamison is a kid from Upper Township, New Jersey. Those two are the best duo of linebackers, I think, as well. They could play as well as any linebacking duo in the Patriot League. Bucknell has kind of gone to a 3-4 look because the Bison graduated a few defensive linemen from a year ago, so Coach Bowers, the defensive coordinator, kind of switched things up. You add in John Schlindorf, who kind of plays a hybrid, and now Nick Hoying, probably the smartest guy on the Bucknell team out of near Kings Island, Kings Mills, Ohio, near where Kings Island is off of Interstate 75. They, I think, may be the four best linebacker hybrid kind of guys in the league. I mean, when you stack four of them, and Hoying in that second half at Navy was incredible. And I mentioned he was shot out of a, kind of looked like a torpedo shot out of a sub, using the Navy reference, and he had that interception. Jamison has been super solid. Gavin Willis, those two guys are big, strong, fast, and Schlindorf just does it all. Last week against VMI, he had some incredible plays, including one, because he's a hybrid, having to cover a receiver some 35 yards down the field, did a great job breaking up a pass.
Played Navy in the opener. when you see Bucknell compete the way they did in a game like that, what do you think it means to the program to compete like that, and does it set a tone moving forward when they face comparable competition?
That's a great question. I do believe it does. I think, this week, Bucknell playing Merrimack, I'm sure we'll talk about that some. They may be the most talented next to Navy in terms of just athletes, talented team Bucknell will face this year. I mean, certainly some Patriot League teams on the rest of the schedule, very good too. But Navy, I think it gave this team a glimpse of what it could do. And now Navy's defense is really good. Almost shut out Temple last week, held the Owls to just 3 points. But I think that with the offense, and if Bucknell didn't make some silly penalties on offense, I think the Bison could have scored more points and made it very interesting in the third and fourth quarter. As it was, Bucknell's D just could not stop Navy's offense, which had struggled last year, but under a new offensive coordinator, I think kind of has found itself some. Scored 49 against Bucknell, 38 last week against Temple. I think, though, that Bucknell was hanging in there, led 7-6 after one quarter. I definitely think it gives this team confidence. This game this week, though, is going to be humongous. If Bucknell can get a victory here at home in its home opener, I think that, who knows, the sky could be the limit for this team.
Well, Merrimack comes in with all that talent right out of the gate. When you look at them, what are a couple things that, Bucknell will have to take care of?
Defense. While Navy's defense is the best I think Bucknell will face this year, this Merrimack D is really good. Coach Gennetti in his first year was a longtime defensive coordinator. Merrimack has long been known as a great defensive team. 8 of the 11 starters, at least according to the 2-deep, 8 of the 11 starters for the Warriors are seniors. Another was a junior, a couple of redshirt sophomores in there. So a lot of experience here for Coach Gennetti's defense. There isn't a defensive coordinator listed, so Coach Gennetti basically is that, as well as being the head coach. I think that has to, be a concern. How can Bucknell go against these guys? And in speaking with Ralph Rucker after practice last night, he was saying they won't do a lot of blitzing like VMI and Navy did. They will just man-oh-man say, you can't beat us. We're going to play you one-on-one on the corners. Our safeties, they may bite sometimes. And if they get the ball thrown over them, they feel confident enough they have the speed to stop, turn, catch up to the guy, and still make a play. And the defensive line, just big, strong, quick. That's going to be a big challenge for this Bucknell offense, which, the last four games of last year, really the first couple of games, even against that good Navy defense, looked pretty good. Last four games of last year averaged about 38 points a game on offense. It'll be interesting to see how Bucknell attacks that. On the defensive side, Bucknell, to be honest, has struggled some, particularly in the running game. Navy, obviously, a great running team. VMI focuses on the run. This will be different with Merrimack. They'll focus on the run, but their quarterbacks, oddly enough, may run more than even Navy's two quarterbacks, which they didn't really run a ton because they had so much success in the interior. They have a great player in Donovan Wadley, who was an All-American last year, up for the Walter Payton Award, the Heisman, basically, in division, the FCS division. He hasn't really started out well, but Merrimack played at Air Force, lost only 21-7 in that high altitude. Last week took it on the chin pretty badly against UConn, 63-17. So the speed of the game is probably going to be a lot slower for the Warriors players, having played Air Force and UConn prior.
And my best, by the way, to the outstanding Charlie Fisher. Please tell him I said hi.
Yes. He is outstanding. I firmly believe, Steve, you work with top of the notch and Jack Ham, who not only works with you but has worked with Westwood One on NFL games, etc. I think Charlie Fisher, the way he knows the game and the way he can explain it just for any person who may be a novice listening or whatever, I think he deserves to go up to a much better level than ever working with me, and certainly when he was working with the Sioux last year on a few games.
On the road, do you stop and you get Chick-fil-A anymore? Or?
We do. We go every. We've been about two road games to start the season, and both times we stopped at Chick-fil-A.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you can't stop certain things along the way.
No,
I'm sure
correct.
Without I'm sure without the suit there, the bill's lower. All right, so just kidding. Just kidding. My friend, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Thanks, yeah. Doug.
Have a great week off.
Yeah, you bet. The outstanding Doug Birdsong. Great to have him on the show today. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. Roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the Barrels and the Dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner. And now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
This is, of course, 9/11, which we can never forget. Whether it's the Twin Towers or the Pentagon or Shanksville, we can never forget what happened. The emotion of that day. That's the first time in my life when I went into an office and looked around and I thought to myself, everybody in here is scared. I'll never forget that, because we were supposed to do the talk show that night. It was a Tuesday. But Penn State was going to be playing Virginia on Thursday in Charlottesville. And so that meant the talk show was going to be a Tuesday, and we were supposed to fly on the 12th, on September 12th. We were going to fly down. Well, of course, this is all happening. So I had to go over to athletics. It wasn't to football. I had to go to Jordan Center and athletics. And it was after, I think it was right after the Pentagon had been hit. And before the other tower came down. And I'll never forget, like, how scared. Like, the first time in my life, I really looked around a room and felt everybody in the room was scared. Because nobody knew what was happening. Nobody knew what was next. And that was, that's what the day was like. People didn't know what was next. And, yeah.
My brother lived in Hoboken, and it took me from 9:30, I think, to almost 1 o'clock to get through.
Yeah.
And you had no idea what was going on then. And I was working in a factory, so, and of course we didn't go home, so it was I can honestly say it was one of the weirdest, probably the weirdest day of my life.
I remember the last story I did before the plane hit. The Red Sox were playing the Yankees the night before. And the Red Sox had lost, and they called the team meeting, and three of the players were late. It's like, so, you know, what was the purpose of the team meeting? All right. Being professionals. And I was talking about that when I was done. I got a call from my wife. You should turn on the TV, and we had the TV on in the newsroom. And I saw the smoke billowing out of the World Trade Center. I remember exactly what I said to her. I said, that is unquestionably terrorism. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the tail on the plane said Hamas. That's what I said to her. Now, when the second plane hit, everybody knew it was terrorism. But it was when the first one hit. Just one of those gut feelings. So I just, my gut feeling right away was, that's terrorism. Just didn't look like an accident to me, especially the placement of the building and how big the hole was. Mike DeCourcy, next half hour. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. Each one they go over with a fine-tooth comb. Thus, they get the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's inspections or routine or difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And it's always my pleasure to spend any time with Mike DeCourcy. Mike, how are you? Great to have you with us.
I am great, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Written some intriguing stuff, and I want to get into some of that. And we're going to start with Deion Sanders. He is somebody that has been around media his entire life. In fact, he's been a member of the media at one point, especially at NFL Network. Are you surprised with how he deals with, not criticism, but a critical question, let alone criticism?
I'm not surprised because he's faced very little criticism in his time.
True.
And it's especially when he was an athlete, he faced very little criticism. And when he did not react great then either. I'm not surprised that he's handling it in a difficult fashion, but I thought it would be more confrontational. Look, when I say confrontational, I'm not necessarily saying a negative connotation. I mean, I've been through those. You ask a question, the coach doesn't like it. There were two instances in my career. One of them was with Joe Paterno, and one of them was with Chuck Tanner. Of the Pittsburgh Pirates the year I covered baseball, and where I got reamed out pretty good. And I will be honest, although I felt like there were times when Joe was inordinately tough on me. The one time he really went off on me, it was a pretty crappy question that I asked after I can't remember whether it was I think it might have been an 85 season, and East Carolina gave them a hard time, and I said something like, were you surprised at how, you know, I don't remember the exact part of it. I remember the surprise part of it. Something like, were you surprised at how difficult East Carolina played you, or something like that? It is a terrible question. In retrospect, I was young and didn't realize it was a terrible question, but it was. And I deserved to get yelled at for it. The one with Tanner, it was a fair question, and I approached it as diplomatically as one possibly could. But he saw what I was getting at, and he did not like the fact that I was questioning the effort of one of his players, whether or not I was correct. He did not like that, and he gave it to me. And like, I didn't have a problem with that at all. And so if Sean Keeler wrote something that Deion Sanders didn't like, and he wanted to give it to Sean for that, okay, that's, you know, we're all adults. We can handle it. Mm-hmm. We've been through it. But it, you know, going and running behind your bosses and getting them to say that Sean Keeler can't ask any more football questions is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I remember that game with East Carolina. It was 17-10, I think. Penn State won the game.
Oh, there you go.
In 85, which was a surprise to everybody that was that close. But they had a bunch of games like that year. They ended up winning every game, but they were all like that, close. And as for Chuck Tanner, there's nothing wrong. What the subject has to realize is there's nothing wrong with asking the question. It's just up to you to give an answer. And, of course, he wants to defend his player. I got it. That's his clubhouse. He wants to defend the guy. But, you know, I talk to my broadcasting class all the time. I said, just ask questions. I said, you know, if somebody takes it personally, it's just a question.
Yes. And it's okay. It's okay to get yelled at. I mean, there is a legendary audio clip of Tommy Lasorda yelling at a baseball writer for maybe not a writer. I can't remember whether he was a writer or broadcaster, but in the locker room setting with the in the manager's office, asking him about a day that Dave Kingman hit three home runs or five home runs in a doubleheader or something like that. And it's legendary because it is profane and hilarious, and you can find it on YouTube if you like. But no one who listens to that is offended as a reporter that he went off like he did. We don't get offended because coaches yell at us at all.
Right.
I mean, we may feel like our question was justified. Like I said, the Tanner question was a fair question. I asked him about a particular player going and how that player pursued a ball that had gone over his head.
Right.
I phrased it as diplomatically as I possibly could. Did you have any trouble with the way he played Backman's ball? And Chuck said, no, we always play Backman in. And I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And he caught the whiff of my questioning the effort,
right,
and he went on me. And that was okay.
Right.
So I think Deion has to understand that if he has a problem with a particular reporter, Keeler or someone else, that you deal with it personally. And you could deal with it professionally in a closed office, or you can deal with it publicly by yelling at the person, if that's what you want. But you don't do it by hiding behind your bosses and making them be the people who enforce that particular made-up rule.
Have you ever had a coach call you and say, hey, Mike, can we just talk for a second? That didn't go well. Have you ever had that happen?
Well, I will tell you that I made a mistake in a piece years ago involving a particular Hall of Fame basketball coach.
Right.
And I assumed something had happened that had not happened. And I wrote about it in a column. And that coach... Eventually, we happened to be next to each other at a Peach Jam basketball game, and he didn't ream me, but he said basically, you know, you're better than that, and I said, you know what, you're right, I won't do that again, and I have not done that again. It's been 15 years or so since I made that particular mistake of making an assumption And he was right. I was wrong. Like I said, I've been in this business for 40 some years, and you're going to make mistakes. As long as they're honest mistakes and not mistakes out of convenience, and not mistakes that are made because you have antipathy for that particular person, they can be corrected, either privately or publicly. Mistakes can be corrected. I'm not saying that Sean Keeler made mistakes in what he did.
That's right.
I did see some of those words. Some of the terms that Colorado found objectionable, or that he found objectionable and told Colorado to find objectionable, whichever would happen, I thought they were a little bit premature, given that the guy's been on the job for a year. But I also acknowledge that by the way he operated from the day he walked in the door at Colorado, he's the one who changed the math on rebuilding a football program.
Right.
By replacing as much of the initial roster, the 2023 Colorado roster, as he did, he changed the math. You want 4 years to rebuild, but you allowed or encouraged that many players to leave and replace that many players? I'm not sure that 4 years applies anymore when that's how it works.
Florida State, you wrote a column about them, and they started out with back-to-back ACC games, lost both games. And because of what they've done off the field, I thought you made some interesting comparisons that in 9 months they have become a target for the venom of other fans and programs across the country. Is that a fair characterization of how you've been seeing Florida State?
Oh, absolutely. They were another very good football program until they decided that, because of decisions that they made, let's remember that.
They decided
to sign on to the ACC, to commit to the ACC, to agree to the grant of rights which binds them to the league for as much as the next dozen years, and at 20 years from the time they agreed to it. They made those decisions. Are you seriously telling me that no one at the institution could have known that the money was going to get a lot better at the SEC and Big Ten? And they all could have known. Anyone could have known that. I would think you should have known that.
That's right.
If you're a professional in this area. And you decided that the stability of the ACC and the stability of the commitment from the ESPN and the launch of the ACC television network was more important than the possibility that other leagues could soon make more money than you, or they already made more money, but significantly more money than you, and that you would therefore have a tough time catching up because your contract is so much longer term. That's every decision that everybody makes in being employed, especially if you're in a contractual basis. Long-term security, short-term gain. Which is it?
Mm-hmm.
And they decided the security was more important. And they did it. And now they're blaming everybody else. That's offensive, honestly. And that's why so many people have turned against them and made them a target of anger and or humor based on their struggles.
Well, as I've tried to point out to people several times, Florida State's administration not only signed the grant of rights once, they signed it twice. It's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And the problem I have with the ACC right now is, for them, I'm talking about for them now, is that should the settlement eventually be approved by Claudia Wilken, and right now, of course, we know it's in limbo because of the collective part of it, where are they going to find the money? I mean, at least the Big Ten has the TV contract. Penn State has a brand new big radio contract, like, for example, and they have attendance. I mean,
yes.
Okay, Pitt doesn't have a lot of attendance. Pitt, I'm using them as an example because they're right in the backyard, right? Doesn't have the attendance, doesn't have the TV contract, doesn't have the radio contract. Where are they going to come up with 20 to 23 million to compete on an every year basis?
Well, remember, there's no. The 22 is kind of more a cap. than it is than a requirement.
Yeah, but Mike, I'm bringing up the 22 because that seems to be the top out number, which you know the top programs are going to get to and they're going to compete with. Can you compete against that?
Well, my point that I would make, and one of my colleagues in the business who works at another outlet made this point as well, and my immediate reaction was, like, Pitt's not recruiting against Alabama anyway.
Right.
They're not beating Alabama for a player. Right. They're not beating Ohio State unless it's somebody that like that grew up with Pitt in his blood. You're not beating Alabama. You're not going to beat Michigan. You're not going to beat Penn State very often, and certainly you'll beat them less often if that becomes an issue. But there's also the possibility that if you really want a player, let's say the next Tony Dorsett grows up in Hopewell, and you want him, you can commit as much of that to him as you want if you want to have the next Tony Dorsett on your team. And that's the decisions that you're going to have to make. So it'll be hard for them and Syracuse. But I mean, Syracuse is not out recruiting Texas ever.
Right.
It's just like I said, unless you Carmelo Anthony's kid becomes a football player, and then you have a shot. It's not a done deal, but you have a shot.
Right.
But you don't have any shot to beat Texas on a football player. It's just the reality. It's what can you make out of what you get? I mean, what we're still only 4 years since Cincinnati got Sauce Gardner and Brian Cook and all the rest of those guys, Ford and all these NFL guys that are in the league now and went out and went undefeated and at least played competitively against Alabama in the playoff.
Right. So you also wrote, I thought, a great column on Deshaun Watson, and I loved how you started it. The way you started it was to tell everybody that performance-wise, here are the numbers. And when you see 15 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, you are not playing well. So discuss the approach that you had to that to then take us through the Deshaun Watson story.
Yeah, the thing about the Deshaun Watson trade that still baffles me, that boggles my mind, is that Cleveland looked at a player who was in a bargain basement circumstance.
Yep.
He should have cost nothing because he had not played in more than a year. He was facing the likelihood of an extended suspension that eventually became 11 games. And that player should have been someone that had very little value on the trade market and very little value on the contract market. And they paid three first-round draft choices plus multiple later draft choices, as well as a $230 million guaranteed contract. I'm not sure if it was the very first contract, but I think it was. First NFL contract that was all guaranteed, at least in terms of long-term.
Right.
And so that's what really baffled me, Steve, is that they took that approach, and then their reward for that is dismal play, if they had taken the chance on him as a player slash person for short money and a fifth round pick or whatever, I could have understood that. I wouldn't have approved of it, but I could have understood it. But to do what they did under the circumstances he was in is just it is staggeringly incompetent to me.
Yeah, I couldn't have said any better. I mean, you knew what you were getting, and you still did that. I mean, to me, desperate organizations make desperate moves. All right, that's just me.
The funny thing is, people want to hang it on the owners, and they may have been really involved. But it's what the funny thing is that the Haslams also own the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer,
and
it's like a model team. Like everything with the Crew is perfect.
Yes,
like they got a great group of guys, and they play hard, and they play beautiful soccer, and their fans love them. And then you have this, and so it makes you wonder: like, did they have too much influence in football and none in soccer, or are they really doing the soccer And the football, they have, I don't have any idea how right. they came to any of those decisions. But it is kind of a, it's like an two sides of the same coin in the same ownership group. Really, really hard to understand.
Look, you cover everything nationally when it comes to college basketball. But still, what's it going to be like to cover an 18-school Big Ten?
You know, I'm really excited about it, Steve.
Me too.
I really am.
Me too.
Because I think that they're adding significant programs.
Yep.
And programs that are really fun. I don't know what Penn State's schedule is going to be, but if you get sent to Eugene or to Seattle, I've been to Heck Ed, the gym where Washington plays, probably a half dozen or so times. It's one of my favorite buildings in the country. If you get to go to SoCal, I love Pauley. I've not been to New Pauley, but I was in Old Pauley many times, and I love the Galen Center. It's really a great mid-size, maybe even small-size building, and creates a great atmosphere for hoops. So I think all the people who cover the teams, or maybe those who can pull off a winter road trip, I'll tell you, Steve, when it's 10 degrees here, now in suburban Pittsburgh, before in suburban Cincinnati and suburban Indianapolis, when it's 10 degrees and you're getting on a plane to go out and stand outside of Pauley on a 75-degree January day, you'd rather be there than just about anywhere in the world.
You want to know what my quote has been when I've gotten off the plane in Madison and it's been like 4 or 5 below? I've always, my quote has always been, "You sure they couldn't have joined the ACC?"
Well, now you'll get a break from that. Hopefully the Lions get a chance to head out there a couple of times. It's really fun to go out there, and they're bringing in interesting teams and interesting coaches and presumably interesting players as well. I'm excited about it. I really am.
Me too.
And you know, I was thinking about this as preparing for today, and I put a tweet out on it. Pitt's women's volleyball team is right now number one in the country.
Yes.
They have a fabulous program. They've been in the Final Four 3 years in a row.
Yep.
They are now, tonight, they will play Southern Cal at the Galen Center, USC at the Galen Center. Last week or the week before, they were at Oregon. Those are non-league games. Their women's volleyball team is going to the West Coast twice in the early part of the season to play non-league games. So what's so out of sorts about, Rutgers having to go to Southern California for a soccer game or whatever it might be? I don't see, if we're going to do this for Olympic sports in non-league situations, why is it so bad to do it in a league situation?
Of course not. I totally agree with that. I mean, look, we're not going by train. All right, so okay, those days are over. But and Penn State, by the way, their combo this year is the two LA teams out there. So that part I do know. Mike, always, always, always a pleasure. I always, every time. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, it's been an honor, Steve. Thank you.
The great Mike DeCourcy, one of the best. And we will come back. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner, and now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.